Yeah.
The reason why people believe that they have to do something else rather than simply believing in the work of Christ alone is because they've been used to seeing scriptures that would seemingly contradict the plain teaching of what we see, for example, in the book of Romans. Okay? And if we're honest with what those scriptures say, then that's true. But then again, we have to understand that the gospel that we're preaching today is the gospel that's to be preached under the dispensation of grace. You see, it's the time element that makes all the difference. For this particular time, God is ruling by grace. Okay? Paul calls it the Gentile dispensation of the grace of God, doesn't he? Go ahead and read Ephesians 3, verses 1 and 2.
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you word.
How did we get to that Gentile dispensation of grace? Why is it the Gentile dispensation of grace today? Well, Israel rejected her Messiah, okay, that we know, according to Act, in terms of Acts chapter 3. Peter warned Israel in verses 19 through 21 that if they didn't repent of crucifying Christ. Go ahead and read verses 15 to 21 or 14 to 21.
Acts chapter
3. From verse 12.
Acts chapter 3, verse 12 to 21. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of our and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
Right. Peter said, look, this lame man that I just healed, I did it under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The very prince that you rejected. Okay, you wanted a murderer instead of your own Messiah. Okay, he said, now, you did it ignorantly, admittedly, because you didn't know who he was. But here now, God's calling upon you to repent. If you repent of what you did to your Messiah, then he will send the Messiah back. And he will fulfill everything the prophets talked about concerning you. That's a gracious invitation, isn't it? The Lord...
Right.
That was the Lord's prayer on the cross, was it not? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, here you see the proof. Okay? So what was Israel's response to that proof? Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 60. That's the response.
Acts 7, verses 51 to 60. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye now have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispens- position of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice.
Go ahead, sir. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Okay, so Israel's heart remained unchanged. He called them uncircumcised. He called them stiff-necked. They always resisted the Holy Spirit as their fathers did. Okay? Remember, the Lord told Israel, he told the Pharisees in Matthew 12, okay, in verses 30 and 31, or 31 and 32, you can just write the scripture down. You blaspheme against the Son of Man, it's forgiven. You blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness. Okay? Well, they just committed the unpardonable sin here. They blasphemed Stephen, who was a man full of the Holy Spirit, in verse 55 of Acts 7. Okay? And then Stephen, in response to, you know, the Lord, in response to that, shows Stephen a vision, doesn't he? Where the Lord is not anymore sitting, but he's standing ready to come back, isn't he? In judgment. Okay? And who is the guy that you read about who lay there, who had the clothes of Stephen laid at his feet? It was
Saul,
the leading rebel. He's the guy that made havoc of the church in Acts chapter 8, right? Breathing out threatenings and all this kind of thing, hauling off to prison men and women and so forth. That's the first four verses of Acts 8. Okay? Well, that's Israel's answer to the Lord's, to the, so what does the Lord do? He takes this very rebel who should have been crushed in judgment, and he arrests him in Acts chapter 9 and saves him in verses 1 to 6. Okay? Now, could he have done that according to that kingdom message where he told Israel that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness? No, Saul was the leading blasphemer here. So how could he save this guy and not violate what he told the Pharisees in Matthew 12 concerning the blasphemy of the nation? Well, Paul gives his answer in 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right? And that the answer is in verses 12 to 16. Go ahead and read this section. That's how we get to the Gentile dispensation of grace.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 16.
12 to 16.
12 to 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious.
Full stop. Here's a guy counted faithful, and yet, what was he before? A blasphemer and injurious. How could he be counted faithful in terms of himself? I mean, he killed him, could he? What qualified him to be counted faithful? Verse 14.
And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
You see, it's the grace that qualified him. You see that? Not only grace, exceeding. See that word? Underline it. Exceeding grace. It was grace beyond what was given in Acts 3. Okay? Paul had no reason to expect this. Okay? And now God's going to use this guy as a pattern of starting over, isn't he? He's going to start over something new with him. Not related to anything that he said before to Israel. That's how it can be done. Look at verses 15 and 16. He talks about himself being a pattern.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Full stop. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom that word chief is literally the same word as the word first in verse 16, same Greek word, first. In other words, Paul was at the first in a line of sinners to be saved this way, by exceeding grace, as it says in verse 14. First one. You see, that's why he's called a pattern in verse 16. Look at verse 16.
1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting.
See, a pattern. God used Paul as a pattern. A pattern's a model. Okay? The example. Okay, of how he's working today. And it's called the Gentile dispensation of grace. Why? Because God stretched out his hand all day long to gainsaying Israel, like Paul said in Romans 10, verses 20 and 21, through Paul. From Acts 13 all the way to the end of the book of Acts, he went to the Jew first, confirming the prophetic message to them, and they threw him out. And so he said he went to the Gentiles. Remember how he said in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first, also to the Greek? That was the Acts ministry. You saw it in Antioch in Acts 13, verses 44 to 46. Write the verses down. I don't have to go over them. You read them on your own. Acts 13, verses 44 to 46, goes to the Jews. They blaspheme, turns to the Gentiles. Then he goes west. He goes from the religious center in Antioch, still near Israel, goes west to the heart of the economic center of the world, Corinth. Same treatment. Acts 18, verses 5 and 6. Blaspheme, he goes to the Gentiles. Okay? And then God lowers the boom on Israel in Acts 28. Okay? When he's now in the heart of the political Gentile world, the very fitting place to end it with Israel, he puts them to sleep. He says, you don't want to hear it. It's now the Gentiles' turn. And he quotes Isaiah, doesn't he? In chapter 6, saying, you close your eyes, you stop your ears, you don't want to hear it, I'm putting you to sleep, salvation's going to the Gentiles. That's Acts 28, 25 to 28. Okay? And so all the letters after Acts 28, it's all about the fullness of the Gentile dispensation of grace. Okay, Ephesians. We're talking about Ephesians. That's the one that tells you you're in the Gentile dispensation, isn't it? Philippians, Colossians. That's what we are today. That's how we got there. Okay? Now, what kind of scriptures are going to use to you to convince you that you're not saved simply by the finished work of Christ alone? They're going to have to go outside the dispensation of grace and leap into the future when it's no longer the dispensation of grace, and they're going to quote all the scriptures from the time of Jacob's trouble, okay, after the Gentile dispensation of grace. Because there you got to endure till the end, don't you? Hebrews to Revelation is all about enduring till the end. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 11.
Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
You got to labor to enter into that rest. Now, make no mistake about this, okay? The fact that the blood of Christ is the salvation for their sins as well as ours, that's true, okay? But they're not laboring on their own here, okay? God is still going to be the doer here, Okay? Because who's empowering them to bring forth their works? Read it in 1 Peter chapter 1. Another book after Paul here. 1 Peter chapter 1. What does it say in verse 5?
1 Peter 1, 5. To an inheritance who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Yeah, and when did they get that salvation in verse 9?
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
And when is it in verse 7?
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
You see, they get their salvation at the appearing of Jesus Christ, the end of their salvation. They have to endure, though, but it's the power of God that allows them to endure. You see that? Okay?
Right.
That's a different message, isn't it? Absolutely.
Right.
Okay? God's not empowering anybody to bring forth any works today for their salvation. He will be in that day. Okay? Today, the moment of faith, according to Ephesians 1:13, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he says you're sealed until the day of redemption in Ephesians 4:30. So 1:13 and 4:30 of Ephesians, under grace, the moment of faith, sealed by the Spirit, that's it. Signed, sealed, and delivered till the day of redemption. Not so in the tribulation. There you have to labor to enter the rest, but it's God that's empowering you to labor. Okay? But the blood of Christ is there for salvation, just like it is here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19, I believe, there.
1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
You see that? The blood of Christ is still the payment. Okay? But how you appropriate that payment is not the same in that dispensation as it is here. You're going to have to die for your faith in the tribulation. Okay? Because it's no longer the dispensation of grace. Israel's going to have to go through the fire and prove their faithfulness to Messiah. Okay? That's what it says in Revelation 12. What does it say in Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11?
Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
You see, the blood is there. The testimony concerning the blood is there, and they have to die for it. You see that? Because what's the issue in the tribulation period for Israel? You either participate in that temple worship that it's rebuilt there, where the sacrifices are being offered to the Antichrist, the false Christ, or you're believing in the blood of the true Christ, aren't you? And you're being cast out by your brethren for having believed that, and most often not killed. Okay? It's a totally different message. It's a totally different time, a different people, a different message. You see that? It's no longer the Gentile dispensation of grace. It's the time of Israel, Jacob's trouble. Like it says in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Okay? And all the gospel accounts in Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 12 about, you know, the time that suffering that's like no other. The Lord says the same thing in Matthew 24, 20, 21, and 22, just like it does in Daniel 12, 1. Okay? And it's all Israel. It's not the Gentile dispensation of grace. Okay? So, the good news about the blood of Christ doesn't change because the dispensation changes. But how you appropriate that blood does. Okay? Under the dispensation of grace, you simply trust in that blood alone, that sacrifice alone, and that's it. In the time of the tribulation, Israel is going to have to not only trust in the blood, but she's going to have to separate from the false brethren that are trusting in the sacrifice made to the Antichrist. She's going to have to separate, and more often not than die. Okay? That's a totally different message, isn't it? So, you know, when you want to give the gospel today, you have to be prepared to show this other stuff. Okay? Because that's what makes it compelling, and that's what makes it clear as to what message is today and which message is not. Okay? That's why we keep telling everyone here, be a student and know these other things. Okay?
And know your audience.
And know
your
audience.
If you're not willing to look at the word, then
right.
You can't help them.
But the scriptures are there, and they can be very easily understood if you stay in the context and you read who is it being talked to and when is it being said. Okay? And that's it. Okay, we'll put that up. Try to give it a wrap today.